So Chazal say Haman knew how to tell Lashon Hara, and this medrash does not go in line with Yosef Lekach we discussed earlier. And says Haman came to Achashverosh and said, "I want to annihilate the Jews." Achashverosh said, "I'm scared of them. Look at what their God did to all my predecessors who started up with them." Haman says, "Yesh no am echad." Chazal say the word "yesh no" can be read as "yashnu." Haman says, "They're sleeping. They're sleeping from mitzvos. You have nothing to worry about. What protects them are their mitzvos. They're not doing them so much." Our sages say there was truth to what Haman said. The reason there was a decree out against us was either because most of the Jews bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, or because the Jews participated in Achashverosh's party where he used vessels from the Beit HaMikdash. So there was an argument in heaven that we had fallen asleep from our mitzvot. He says, "I'm scared. If I wipe out the Jews, I'm going to have a bald spot in my nation. There's going to be a territory where no one's going to be living." He says, "Mefuzar, they're scattered among your nation." He says, "But Hashem fights for them when they..." He says, "Meforad, they're divided. They're not united right now. When the Jewish people are divided, that's when you could take them down." He says, "And you should know they're bad for the economy. Every time they have an excuse, it's Shabbos today, we can't work. It's Yom Tov today, we can't work. It's Rosh Hashanah, we can't work. It's Yom Kippur, we can't work." You guys will think back to this medrash when you'll be taking courses, if you have the unfortunate experience of doing it in Chutz La'aretz, where you pay a hefty price for not being able to take your courses on Shabbat and Chanukah. I guess Chanukah you could go, but Purim and Pesach and Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Shavuos, you'll always be looking at how the holidays fall out because they really get in the way. It's very hard to be a Jew in Chutz La'aretz. Here in Israel, you get off even on Chol HaMoed. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's hard. It's one of the major hardships of doing university in Chutz La'aretz, doing school outside Israel. So that's Haman's argument. They're always taken off. The Jews, every 7 years, we take a total of a year off. Every 7 years, if you count up all our holidays in Shabbatot, after 7 years, you will have a total of 365 days. That's a big percentage. That means we're taking 1/7 of... we're taking more than 1/7. I'm sorry, it's 6 years. Meaning, you have 1/7 of the year off just for Shabbos. You have another, whatever it takes to get to 1/6. Every 6 years, that's what it says. 6 years of... 6 years of Yom Tov. Because just 6 years of Shabbos, you're already holding by 365, right? So it's got to be 6 years of Yom Tov. How does that add up? Okay, I got to do the math. This isn't working. The idea is that for 6 years, you take 1 year of Shemitah for the earth. But I'm not figuring out how that works, because 6 years is... 6 times 52 is 312. But you don't have 52 years in a Jewish year. Right? Because a Jewish year is 354 days. I don't know, I got to do the math. At any rate, we are taking a lot of time off. That's the idea, but I don't know if it includes Shabbos or doesn't include Shabbos. Whatever. Coming back to here, we are taking a lot of time off, so that's what Achashverosh says. So Chazal say the famous Mashal, Haman and Achashverosh are like two neighbors. One lives on one side of town, he's got this big pit in his yard. The other one lives on the other side of town, he's got a mound of dirt in his yard. So the guy with the mound of dirt comes to the guy with the pit and he says, "How much will it cost me to put my dirt in your pit?" And he says, "You don't have to pay me. I need my pit filled. Good for you, good for me." Chazal say that's what happened between Achashverosh and Haman. Haman came and said, "How much? I'll give you 10,000 bars of silver for the right to murder the Jews, and Achashverosh says, keep the money. Akesef natun lach, you can keep the money and do whatever you want with the nation. Our sages say, what did Haman say to Achashverosh? The Medrash says, Haman said to Achashverosh, if a fly falls into the cup that a Jew was about to drink, he will take the fly out of the cup of wine and continue drinking the wine. But if you, Achashverosh, touch a cup of wine that a Jew is about to drink, the Jew will toss the wine and then stick that cup in the ground for 3 days to purify it from you, Achashverosh, from you touching it. So Achashverosh is being told, you're worse than a fly in their cup. And Achashverosh gets upset. So Achashverosh says, you can have him. Our sages say, Haman knew how to say Lashon Hara. He knew how to get Achashverosh riled up against the Jews. So they sit down for a feast, they sit down to drink. And that's something we will explore, I hope, on Friday in Rav Chalap. Why does the story of Esther always revolve around feasting and drinking? The story, always, you always feel like Achashverosh is always partying. He's always eating and drinking. So word goes out to Shushan, and Shushan is in mourning. Why is Shushan in mourning? The Jews of Shushan are in mourning, right? There's a focus here. Shushan is in mourning. Mordechai knows what happens, and Esther does not. She's in her palace. She has no idea. What does Mordechai know happens? The Medrash says Mordechai met Elio. Elio said to Mordechai, what you doing? Mordechai said, I'm learning Torah. Elio says to Mordechai, why are you learning Torah? The Jews are in trouble. Mordechai says, we've had decrees in the past. Don't worry, it'll pass. So Elio says to Mordechai, no, this isn't like the past. Mordechai says, what do you mean? Elio says, in heaven, they also wrote this decree. This isn't just Achashverosh and Haman. In Shemayim, they agree. And so Mordechai says, I want to see it. Elio says, okay, but you can't mess up the seal. Mordechai wants to tear it up. Elio says, you don't have a right to tear it up, but I'll show it to you. And so he brings him a copy of the decree in heaven. And that's what Mordechai sends to Esther. He sends word to her. He says, it's a decree not just here. In heaven they've decreed we're supposed to be annihilated. They're very upset at us. And so we have to do something about it. What does Esther say? Esther says, if our hope is me, well, if I go into the king, I might die. You know, if I come in uninvited, so there's a decree, everyone knows. You walk in uninvited, so then you get killed. If I walk in, same deal. Yeah, if Esther walks in, same deal. So Esther says, if I walk in now, I might get killed. And then what'll be with the Jews? Mordechai tells her, Al tedami v'nafshech lehimaleit beit hamelech mikol ha'yudim. That's a very powerful line. Esther was making an argument that seems good. Mordechai cuts to the chase and he says, don't imagine that you will save your own hide in the palace. Is that what Esther was thinking? Was Esther thinking to save her own hide? I'm leaving that as a question for now, which we will revisit Be'ezrat Hashem Thursday night. I want you to think about it. Mordechai tells her, don't imagine that you alone will make it out alive. If you will be silent at this time, the Jews will be saved. I promise you. It's either through you or somewhere else. But the Jews will be saved. And maybe this is your whole purpose. This line of Mordechai is one of the most important lines in our own life. When we are faced with our challenges in life, and we each have to go through maybe 10 challenges, major challenges in our lives. And it could be in one's marriage, it could be in one's parnasah, it could be in one's dedication of standing up for the Jewish people. There can be different challenges. And the way a Jew can overcome the challenges and see clearly what he's supposed to do is review this one pasuk. Al tedami, don't imagine. Don't fantasize. We sometimes give ourselves excuses and we procrastinate or avoid doing the right thing because we have imagined benefits, imagined reasons. And those reasons revolve around, I'll save myself. The real challenge when we're faced with our major challenges in life is the question, will I do what's right or will I do what I want? And it begins with the imagination. It then goes on to thinking about me, thinking about how it's in everyone's benefit that I save myself. It'll be good if I do it. We give ourselves that excuse too. I'll save myself, and then it'll be good. If I can only cheat this one time, I'll be a millionaire, and then I'll help the world afterwards. I'm only going to cheat once. Nope. Mikol HaYehudim. If we can remember that we're supposed to be a part of everyone, I shouldn't make myself an exception. I have to be there for everyone. And finally, what Mordechai tells her, the world will manage without you, but you will forever lose. Maybe this is your golden opportunity to make a meaningful contribution to the world. Sometimes our biggest challenges are where we can make the most major contribution to the world, but it involves stepping out of ourselves. And we are always challenged because we're still in the Imena Nili Mili. If I don't fight for myself, who will? Wait a second, it's self-preservation. No, it's not. It's self-destruction. And that's what Mordechai tells her. You should know. You think you're doing the Jewish people a favor. The Jewish people will manage with you or without you. They will do great. Believe me. It's your opportunity. Esther, it's your opportunity to make your life meaningful. It's your opportunity to make everything you've gone through until now worth something. That's the way a person can overcome their challenge. When they realize, I'm not losing when I do what's right. I am gaining. I am adding meaning. I am now becoming a meaningful person in the world. Now that I'm going to do what's right. To my mind, that pasuk is, the whole Megillah could be written just for that pasuk. That pasuk for every person.
Sometimes the right thing is not the best thing,
though. Right. There's always a cost. Esther has to divorce Mordechai. Esther tells Mordechai, if I go now, kasher avati avati, that means I'm willingly going to sleep with him. Esther says, if I go now, that means we will never again live as husband and wife. She gives the ultimate sacrifice. She says, I'm willingly inviting him to my bedroom tonight. I'm inviting him to a party where it's obvious at the end of the party I'm going to be intimate with him. What I'm saying is, Achashverosh, I'm yours. And I'm also saying, Mordechai, that I'm never coming back to you. Mordechai says, what's the question? We got to do what we got to do. He's giving up his wife. She's giving up her husband. And she takes 2 days of preparation. And still at the last moment, she's going to have her feet buckling. And at the last moment, she's going to feel like God is not with her. She will be about to stand before Achashverosh, and she will say that famous verse, Eli, Eli, lama azavtani. My God, why have you left me? If I'm doing what's right, how come in my hardest moment, I don't feel like you're there with me? I feel like I'm all alone. I feel like you're not even listening when I'm talking. She stops. She's standing in the room before Achashverosh, and she says that prayer. She says, why do I feel all alone? Ribono shel Olam. I'm doing what I think you want me to do. And obviously Hashem comes back and gives her the support, and the rest we know is the success of Esther.